Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my Father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I went long last Sunday, so this is going to be a short one. "Follow me," says Jesus. "Follow me." And his disciples say, "Of course we'll follow you. We've seen the miracles. We've seen the feeding of 5,000. We've seen the healings. Of course we'll follow you. Anywhere you go." But Jesus was headed toward Jerusalem. And that's kind of gospel speak for Jesus was headed toward the cross. And that kind of sobered up the disciples. So a lot of people wanted to follow Jesus when things were good and bright and shiny and easy and exciting. But it's a different story when following means taking on that kind of pain. Have you ever followed somebody the wrong way? Like before GPS? "Follow me. I'll lead you there. Just, you know, keep track of my taillights." I remember back when I was a very young pastor in Dickinson, North Dakota. And we had just done a funeral for a veteran. And this fellow was just so well known, so well loved in the community that it was a huge funeral. And so his committal was in a cemetery, the nearest veteran cemetery, which was in Bismarck, which if you've ever been out on the prairie out that way, it was 100 miles away. So it's a beautiful sight. I climb in to my side of the hearse. You guys, when I die, I want to be cremated because the only way I'm going to ride in a hearse is shotgun. I climb in my side. I'm having a great conversation with the funeral director, and there is a long line of cars behind us, all with their headlights on, all paying tribute to this really wonderful old fellow. And we get to the cemetery, and the funeral director drives 50 feet too far past the entrance. And there isn't a second entrance. What are we going to do? So the funeral director, old Louis, gets out of his car, out of the hearse, and he goes to the car behind him and says, "We're going to have to back up." And he goes to the car behind him and says, "We're going to have to back up." And goes to the car next car, next car. And so we have a funeral procession going in reverse for 50 feet. Now, he could have just had one car turn in and we could have all just, but no. I kind of think of discipleship and following Jesus like that. Is we so want to follow Jesus, and we love Jesus. But sometimes we go too far in one direction or another direction, and we miss our turn. And all of a sudden we're not going in the right direction anymore, and we're following the wrong car. Well, the Apostle Paul had a corrective to that back in Galatians. And we spent a lot of time on Galatians last week, so I'm not going to this week. I'm just saying it's a new church community. And they're trying to figure out, as first generation Christians, okay, they don't have a book, they don't have a church library, they don't have a lot of church history. They just have their community, and they're trying to figure out how to follow Jesus. And so here in Galatians 5, Paul says, "Well, first of all, the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. All the other laws, if they don't pour through that filter, might not be following Jesus." But then he talks about fruits of the flesh and fruits of the spirit. And, you know, I don't have a long history in Galesburg. I've only been here 3+ years. But I remember growing up in a community where everybody was second or third generation. And, you know, nobody knew ever moved into town. And so people knew the second and the third generation. And they knew them from the first generation. My father had a saying. You know, somebody did something either good or bad or completely ludicrous. He'd say that nothing didn't fall far from the tree. Okay? That's how it is with the Christian faith. Paul says, here's the fruits of our tree. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We can use them as kind of a self-made Christian barometer. Are my actions, my behaviors, my thoughts stemming from a place of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, then I'm probably pretty close to the tree that bore me. I remember, again, back in those prairie days, we had a church basketball team. They used to do church league basketball. And of course, I didn't see any spiritual purpose for having a church league basketball team, but we did. And the only thing they ever used the pastor for was when somebody got a technical. If they got a technical foul, they had to go see the pastor. And inevitably, I'm like, you know, I really don't care what you're doing on the court, but what you did was probably not very kind. So I had these basketball players, and there were more than a few of them. They all had to write a one-page paper on the fruits of the Spirit. Okay, boys, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Which of these do you need to learn more about? And it was a helpful exercise, and we had some good conversations about it. The works of the flesh, in contrast. Fornication, impurity, licentiousness. Gosh, we never use that word anymore. Licentiousness. It means feeling like you have license to do whatever you want to do. Idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. Kind of like the seven deadly sins. I'm warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. We've all got that dark side within us. It's called bondage to sin. But the gospel, the good news, calls us out of that and says, if you're going to follow Jesus, follow all of Jesus. Love your neighbor. All of them. Even the ones you don't like very much. And check your heart. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Are they there in abundance? Or do we need to do a little repenting, a little self-check work, a little homework? May the joy of Christ keep your heart so tied to the good news of the gospel, of Christ's unconditional love for all people, Christ's sacrifice of love, that we are compelled to live and show and speak and do through all of the works of our life the fruits of the Spirit. Amen.